this is the season when there are a great number of football games on, bowl games and playoffs and, of course, eventually the Super Bowl. But when we think about any sports team, whether it be football or basketball or any other, we understand that any team that is truly great has to be well-versed in the basics of their sport. It may be the great plays, like some that were on TV yesterday that were totally unbelievable, that excite fans. But it's the basics that are going to win the championships. Starting with next week, the Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching a series of 9 lessons on the general theme of back to basics. These lessons will deal with what we might call the first principles that many of us have heard before and sometimes time and time again. And you might wonder, well, why do we need lessons like this anyway? Well, we have a problem with a lack of knowledge of the basics amongst congregations in the brotherhood today. In fact, we are plagued with members who simply do not know the fundamentals of the faith. Many do not understand anything about the oneness of the church. Many cannot show from the Bible how someone can be saved from his or her sins. So you ask, why do we need these basic lessons? Well, I think it's obvious that many today either have never known these principles or have forgotten them or possibly are just ignoring them. A disregard of foundational principles is a marked sign of immaturity and consequently makes us susceptible to sin. The Hebrew writer in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with verse 9, wrote, "Having been perfected, he, that is Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You see what we're talking about here. Whenever we have not comprehended and grasped and become teachers of the first principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are weak. We are like babies. And we need to learn the principles and exercise them to discern the difference between good and evil. But also, a reason why we need these basic lessons is because not knowing these principles leads to apostasy and ultimately spiritual destruction. In Hosea chapter 4, in verse 1, the Lord said, "You children of Israel, the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Now just listen to what he said. These are God's people, Israel. And what did he say? "There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land." Now look on down at verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They just don't know. They just don't know. And God said, I also reject you, speaking of the priest now, from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I also will forget your children. What's he saying? It was the priest's responsibility to teach God's law to his people. And he said, you haven't done your job. You haven't done your job. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we could say the same thing today. People have not been taught risk destruction because they lack knowledge. And they're easily susceptible to the wiles of the devil. There are two other reasons why we need these lessons in basics. And these are two reasons that are very often overlooked. And I want to mention them to you before we go on with the lesson this morning. The first one is, sometimes there are people in our assemblies who do not know these fundamental principles at all. They've never even heard them before. You know, ever since I started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have always been of the persuasion that it is my responsibility to assume that in any given assembly that there may be one or more who have never heard the precious gospel of Jesus Christ before. And so it behooves me to be sure that before we dismiss the assembly, that they hear the gospel and at least be given a chance to respond to it. I believe that's my responsibility as a gospel preacher. And so we have to take that into consideration. I say this because sometimes people who have heard the gospel say, well, do we have to hear that again? Get over it. We all know that. Just get over it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to get over it. And so you might as well just settle in. Because though you may know it and though you may obey it, you're not the only pebble on the beach. And as a Christian, especially as a Christian, you should have the type of concern and compassion for those around you that makes you happy to hear it again. Tell me the story of Jesus, but please don't tell it too many times. That's how people feel. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Also, one other reason why we need basic lessons like this is it is important from time to time to reiterate where we stand on many issues so that all will know that we have not changed. This is why we preach gospel sermons on various subjects that we've heard before. We talk about issues that confront the brotherhood, even though we've heard them before. But we need to be sure that everyone knows this is what the Bible says, this is what we believe, and this is where we stand. And I think it's very important for us to do that. Now, question, and this is a good question to begin this series with. What? I thought I read this over. Okay, imagine in your mind that that says what, okay? What does the word say about the basics? Well, Peter tells us that it is important to be reminded of the basics. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. Peter says, therefore, brethren, be more, even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Do you hear that? That's the Apostle Peter talking. Paul tells us that when he preached the whole counsel of God. And that definitely included the basics. Look at it. Acts chapter 20, 26 and 27. To the Ephesian elders, therefore I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. We might liken the basics that we're going to be talking about to what Jeremiah talked about in Jeremiah 6, 15 and 16, when he talked about the old paths. Look with me if you will. Were they ashamed? Verse 15, Jeremiah 6, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. In their stubbornness and their arrogance, they refuse to walk in the old paths. But you know, we need to be constantly reminded of these truths so that we don't allow ourselves to slip away or to drift away. The writer of Hebrews 2nd chapter in verse 1 said, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. You notice he didn't say fall off a cliff. You know, if you get to an edge of a cliff, you might stop and go, whoa, that's a cliff. I'm going to fall over. And you might back up. But if you're drifting, you don't hardly even perceive it. You're just drifting along with the flow until you finally are far away from where you used to be. This happens to me all the time when I'm on my boat. If I don't get my anchor down good and solid, that favorite fishing spot that Fowler told me about is way over yonder, and I'm way over here. Why? Because I'm drifting, and I don't notice it. I'm busy fishing, you know, and I don't notice it. And then all of a sudden I wake up and, hey, we need to move. And that's what we're talking about here. We need to be reminded about the things that we have heard so we don't drift away from them. Now, how then do we return to the basics? And what are the basics? What we need to do is be sure that we have a balanced diet of teaching and preaching. A balanced diet. Just as meat is needed for mature Christians, as we've already discovered, basic studies are always required for growing brethren who are young in the faith and who need to be nurtured. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, laying aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know what makes babies grow? Milk. That's what God gave them. Milk. And the pure milk of the word is how Christians grow. That's how Christians grow. if they are deprived of it and they don't partake of it, you know what will happen? They not only won't grow, but there's a good chance they might die spiritually. Why? Because they need to be nourished. That's why. In the sincere or pure milk of the Word. We've already noticed over here, solid food belongs to those who are of full age and who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I want to go on and tie into this the sixth chapter. Read on with me now. We've already read that verse. Therefore, now that connects back to what we just said about solid food, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What does he mean? These are basic things that everybody needs to know. But we don't just stop there. We don't just stop there. We have got to grow. We've got to grow. You know, you don't expect your child to eat or to drink milk and then to begin to eat solid food and get to where he can chew on some meat now and then and then just stop growing. If that happened, you'd be really concerned, wouldn't you? Absolutely. Well, same thing is true of Christians. It isn't enough just to be able to drink the milk and maybe eat a little bit of solid food and then get a little bit of meat and stop. We have to go on and keep on growing and growing. Now, there are some, unfortunately, and some I know of, who teach nothing but first principles. I have heard some of these people, and I'm thinking, well, that's good that they teach first principles, but what else do they teach? Well, that's about it. I'm thinking to myself, how many different ways can you approach baptism? You know? But that's not enough. They never go beyond baptism and the church, and that's where they stop. They don't deal with anything that has to do with daily living. They don't go beyond anything that has to do with the challenges we face in this life. They don't do it. And some of them don't even want to deal with judgment. On the other hand, there are those who have not preached and taught on basic themes in years. They prefer to teach lovely sermons on godly living. Now, neither of these styles are biblical. Neither of these measure up to the whole counsel of God. That's what Paul preached. That's what the Holy Spirit inspired him to preach. We need more preachers who will preach the truth in its completeness, regardless of who may be offended by it. 2 Timothy 4. First five verses. Listen to the charge that he gives to Timothy. Now, this is Paul writing. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. That's the work of an evangelist. But we also need elders who insist on a broad Bible-based curriculum in Bible classes where the whole counsel of God is taught. That's part of the responsibility of elders. Look at Acts chapter 20 now. We go back over here again. This time, begin at verse 28. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." You see why I said elders need to insist on the truth being taught and be sure that the basics of the word are being given to growing Christians. Elders who are doing the work that God gave them to do know that any house that is built that will stand, let's put it that way, must have a good foundation. And so it is with Christians as well. Well, you're probably wondering, well, now I can think of a few things, but just what exactly are we going to talk about in all of these lessons that we're going to have? Well, let's start off here by putting up a list here about some of the basics. And this is just a few, but in the course of our studies, we're going to deal with these, okay? Obviously, we need to talk about the existence of God. It doesn't do any good for us to begin preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ out of the Bible if someone doesn't believe in God. We need to not only believe in God, but we need to be able to teach other people why we believe in God. Because we're living in a world today where many people have given up on God. And sadly, it's because some of them couldn't get God to do what they wanted him to do, so they gave up on him. And that's a sad situation. I guess they need to learn that God is not told what to do. That's the basics of it right there. But we're going to deal with that in the course of our lessons. We're going to talk about the inspiration of the Bible. Whenever we talk about the Bible, we need to be sure that we're able to explain to people that we're not just talking about a book like a novel that somebody wrote or a series of books that some clever man wrote. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that which has come from the mouth of God. And we need to be able to show them why we believe that. We're also going, and of course now we've got the Bible, we're going to talk about how to study the Bible. You know, whenever you start into school, you have to learn skills. And one of those skills is to learn how to study. Unfortunately, some children don't pick it up. They just don't get it. And there are institutions that are outside the school system that specialize in teaching children how to study. And once they learn how to study, they can become successful in school. Well, we're going to learn how to study the Bible. We're going to put to task here some very simple rules of study that make it almost easy, in some respects, to study the Bible. Much easier than some people think it is, really. To many people, the Bible is some mysterious book that, whoa, how can you ever study that? We're going to find out. Obviously, we're going to find out what must one do to be saved. We're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss that. Then we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus and what His blood does for the child of God. And then we're going to talk about the church and the Christian's relationship to it. We need lessons that challenge us, and lessons that reach deep into the meat of God's Word. But, brethren, we need to be reminded every so often of the basics of truth upon which we have built, that we might be firmly grounded therein and not have let things slip from our minds. Remember, the writing in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. I hope you'll find this series of lessons interesting. I want to remind you that, the Lord willing, each of these lessons will be recorded. They will be available to you on our website under Sermons Online. If you have our home page, it's up on the right-hand side, says Sermons Online. You click on it, go down to 2013, and you'll get a chart that will come up there with every month of the year. You put your cursor over the month, and it'll bring down a whole list of the sermons that have been preached during that month in the order that they were preached. And then from each sermon, you can choose the MP3, which is the listening, or you can choose the PPT, which is the PowerPoint chart that you can look at, which has all the charts that you've seen here this morning, and that one that was wrong corrected, by the way. And you'll be able to see that. You can also, by the way, if you're clever, you can bring up the charts and then go back and start the lesson playing, and you can go through the charts as you listen to the lesson. I did that on my iPad this week just to prove you could do it. So you have a lot of things at your disposal. You can go back and listen to these lessons over and over again if you miss something. Or if for some reason you become ill or you have to go out of town or something happens that precludes you from being here, you won't miss any of the lessons in this series. I believe every one of them are important. If they weren't important, I wouldn't be preaching them. I hope that you'll take advantage of these lessons, that you'll put them to good use in your life, and that you'll share them with others. These are basics that everyone needs to understand. If you're with us this morning and you're not yet a child of God, we want to give you an opportunity while we're assembled together to confess your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your confession of faith in Him that has brought about a change of heart in you and brought about a change of mind and brought you to the point where you're ready now to do His will, to be obedient to Him in baptism, to give yourself in submission to Him, allowing yourself to be immersed in the waters of baptism, coming forth, as Paul says in Romans 6, to walk in newness of life, and then growing. That's what we're going to be talking about, is growing. If you've done all of this in the past, but along the way, you've allowed yourself to drift. And you know, we talked about that. We talked about how subtle it can be. It can happen without even realizing it. You drift further and further and further away from your Lord. Then repent. Come back confessing your sin to God. Ask for His forgiveness. And make up your mind that from this day forward, you're going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if it's your desire that we pray with you and pray for you, we stand ready to do just that. If you're responsible in any way to heaven's invitation, we invite you and implore you to come. While we